Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, is daf Memchet. We're holding a daf Mem Zayin Amud Beit, and we were involved in the marvelous sugya about Heftzei Hefker, the Kedesh Visa, or our, let's say, rainfall that comes down on Yontiv. Is it maybe Shayach to the city within which Tchum it was Yored? Things like that lead us to this particular discussion, which has to do with both of those inyanim. So we're holding on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beit, and we have this really weird story over here in which Tani Rebbe Chiya, it's the last line basically, that if you have a cherem, which is a netting or a mechitzev kanim, basically something that traps fish, and it is bein shnei tchumei Shabbat, Tzorech mechitza shel barzel. Imagine a situation like this. You've got yourself a little lake. At least that's what we think it is right now. You've got yourself a little lake that's between two cities. And it's the tchum of the cities run through the middle of the lake. So now we're going to have a problem. Because assuming that the water is kena shvisa, Tosfos says we don't have to worry about the question, not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning that the Rabbanan, we said before, that if human consciousness wants to be kena shvisa on this water, it would be kena. But that's only when it doesn't contradict each other. So over here, the cities in the area both want the water. If you're like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, then the water is kena shvisa le'atzma. Now the problem is, the water mixes. So if the water mixes, how are you able to draw the water from one side of the tchum when you're going to inevitably be pulling also liquid that's coming from outside of the tchum? And if the mayim was kena shvisa, so then that would be a big no-no. So therefore, says Rabbi Chiya, the only thing that you could do is you could build a iron curtain, something the Soviets tried, didn't work too good then, but you could build an iron curtain going right through the middle of the yam, and that way, the water couldn't go from one side to the other. A very practical solution. And, of course, this called Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina to burst out laughing. You're crazy. What in the world is that supposed to mean? So, well, I mean, the Gemara wants to know, why exactly did he burst out laughing? I mean, it's true, it seems a little funny, but okay, I mean, you don't, mechayech means to like look down at it and think it's really pretty dumb. I mean, so why exactly was he sort of looking down at this, huh? I mean, is it because Mishum Datanan like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Luchumra? Is it because Rabbi Chiya is saying this over? I mean, it's a brisa, right? He's saying it over, and it's all based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why is it all based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as I said before? Because even though the Rabbanan would agree in a case where there's only one city, where we're going to have a problem of the claims of two cities on the water, so then we don't say it goes according to the consciousness of the person. Okay, so then according to whom is there a problem? Only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says wherever the water is right at the beginning of Shabbos, then it becomes Heftzei Hefker, that is Kaina, its own tchum. And therefore, we're laughing at him because, I mean, listen, Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina says, what should we worry about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri for? I hold like the Rabbanan, which means that you can go lakula, and Heftzei Hefker are not kena makom shvisa, and they're for the water. Basically, whoever gets the water, it's karagli kol adam, and whoever takes it out, takes it out. Why would you need a chatzitza there, a mechitza there at all? I mean, that's a little ridiculous. I mean, just because somebody holds like the Rabbanan lakula, that doesn't mean they have a right to laugh at somebody that paskins a chumla like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So that, I mean, nobody would do that. So that's certainly not the reason that he found this so absurd. Maybe it's Mishum D'Tanya. Remember, we learned before that if you've got a stream that's flowing, or you've got a natural bubbling brook, and then the din is that since it's moving, then everybody agrees it's karagle kol adam, because anything that's moving is not able to be kena atchum. And because of that, Rabbi Chanina thought that Rabbi Chiya's brisa didn't make any sense. But who told him that we're talking about a lake? Maybe we're talking about a reservoir. And if we're talking a reservoir between two cities, where the tchum of the two cities cuts through, one of them's 2,000 amas on one end, and the other one's 2,000 amas on the other end, and now one wants to draw water, what's going to prevent him from drawing water, which according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was Kena Shvisa right before Shabbos, and now it's moved into the other side. So that's not a good reason to laugh either. Is it because of his ridiculous solution in which he says, well, build an iron curtain right down the middle? I mean, and he's saying, look, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, why is there a problem right now? We've got cunim, right? The cunim are basically a fish net that traps these fish, okay? So we can look at that as a mechitza shel cunim if you want, whatever it's made out of. So the reason that you feel that that is not a meaningful mechitza is because the water can go through it from one side to the other. So, and you're really telling me that you can completely seal off one side of a reservoir from the other by putting a metal curtain in it. Like, no water is going to seep around the side. It's ridiculous. There's no way to make it watertight. Yeah, but don't you understand? Maybe that was the whole point of the Braita. Maybe the Braita is saying, look, forget about it, man, because the only thing that you could do was be to make a watertight mechitza, which is impossible. So the way that he's making his point that it's impossible, it says, go ahead and build a spaceship. I mean, when it says, he's just saying something ridiculous in order for you to understand that, look, neither city is going to be able to draw the water because they're going to be drawing water from outside the Tchum. So maybe that's all it meant. Tzarich, it needs that, but there's no way that it's going to work. And therefore, elo takona. So that can't be the problem. You know what the problem is? Problem is actually a brilliant problem. And that is because, look, this entire business, remember, about viewing the Chefetz Hefker as having their own tchum and all of the dinim of tchumim and being machmir, not taking something out of one tchum into another tchum. I mean, the whole thing essentially is a drop on it, right? So, I mean, you're going to tell me, look, I have examples of other issues that are drabbanan that have to do with water. For instance, remember our case before? You live in Venice. You have a porch that's extending over the canal in front of your house. You want to be able to draw water on Shabbos or pour out wastewater on Shabbos. Okay, what do you do? So we said over there, basically, you take a box and you have it extending down from your porch. Then we view the mechitzas of the box as going down, as long as they're 10 tefachim, into the water. And that you're considering to be mechitza, even though they don't even touch the water, right? Why? Because, again, really, if I'm going to be drawing water out or putting water in, it's really into a mokum ptur. It's the Rabbanan who created this whole business of a karmelit that's usher for my book. Okay, come on, man. So therefore, in order to live in a real world, the Rabbanan, as we saw before, make many accommodations. One of the accommodations that they make is being makil when it comes to water. So if we find that the kula is good enough for water in terms of making something that is really, strictly speaking, a karmelit into a rishus hayachid by hanging a mechitza over your porch, I mean, so obviously a real mechitza that's in the water, you're saying, yeah, but I mean, but the water comes through it. Thank you very much. And I guarantee you the water comes through the mechitza that's hanging from under the porch also, and so do the little fishes. But we didn't mind that when we said there, even though it's a mechitzer shahadagim bokimbo, gideon bokimbo, we say, okay, you don't see it. We're not going to be makbid on it. It's fine. It's, after all, we need to live in the real world. So it's good enough. You made yourself a distinction. Okay, fine. So what are you telling me that I'm supposed to buy into this, that you really, I don't care what shot you're going to say, that you really think you make a mechitza shel parzel, you're just kidding, and you're saying there's nothing to do about it? There certainly is. Because we paskin kalu shekegilu chachomi b'mayim. Remember, we had this question a number of times already. Member of Tavla asked Rav, what is the din? We were talking about a case where a guy's in a churva, you know, and the bottom part of the building collapsed, and it's leaving a piece of wall on top of him. So he wanted to know, can you rely on a wall that's not on the ground? Or does the wall have to be on the ground? So it's tluya. Can a mechitza tluya be matir carrying in a churva? And Rav says there's only one place where you can use a mechitza tluya, and that's over water. Why? Because the chachamim are mekel for the need of getting the water, and there's no way to live without access to water. So obviously, you're not going to make a takana that is impossible to live with. So then if that's the case, why wouldn't that be good enough for tchumim? That's why I'm laughing, and I don't believe that this is a price that we should worry about. Okay, now let's move on. So we're moving on into the next part of the Mishnah. So over there, we were talking about the question of a guy who falls asleep. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if he was sleeping at the time of the moment of the Ben Hashmashes where it's Chal, So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, look, I mean, as we saw, even objects are kena shvisa. So a kosher kena human being who's at least an incipient consciousness is certainly going to be kena shvisa. Masha ein kena chachomim say, no, he can't. And he's stuck, and all he's got is his four amas. And then we have this question, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the four amas is, he's in the middle of the four amas, which extends two amas in either direction. Rabbi Yehuda says he could choose any direction he wants to go. He doesn't only have the four amas. Well, one second. How does Rabbi Yehuda exactly differ from the Chachamim that said, I mean, the Tanakhama said four amas. And Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you could choose those four amas wherever you want. Thank you. I mean, did the Tanakhama say otherwise? What exactly is the difference? Omar Rav, there's an amazing difference. Because the point is that according to the Tanakhama, really, he's allowed to go arba amas in all directions, which means that essentially he's allowed to go eight amas, not four amas. Rabbi Yehuda is insisting that he's got to basically choose his arba amas. So that's a tremendous machlok, because essentially the Tanakhama holds he gets double the area. And in fact, Tanya Namiyachi, the Brisa says clearly, the way that the Tanakh, we understand the Tanakhama now, really means 8 by 8 because he's got four in every direction. And the Braita actually says that beferish. Yeshlo shmona al shmona, divrei Rebbe Meir, which is usually the Tanakhama. The Mishnah is the das of Rebbe Meir. V'yomar Rava, let me just explain something, says Rava. I mean, it's all very nice that we've got this machlokas over here. But the question over here about the difference between 8 by 8 or 4 by 4, let's make it very clear. Rabbi Isai, we are talking about the din of the place vis-a-vis tchumim. We're not talking about carrying. I mean, if you're in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, we're obviously not going to say because you have a personal space, therefore you have a right to carry 8 by 8. That's insane. I mean, the din is carrying arba amos Rishus HaRabim. Once again, we have this interplay between the concept of a space when it comes to ish mimikomo, not to go out of your own space, and the difference of what is the shear of carrying in Rishus HaRabim, which is, of course, four amas. So even if you want to tell me he's got 8 by 8 that define his area vis-a-vis tchumim, he could never carry more than from the beginning to the end of four amas at any one time in that area, which is his area. So, of course, the machlokas is lahalech, but to be metaltel, to carrying something in a real Rishus HaRabim, if he's in a Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelis, divrei hakol, obviously it's only arba amot, the two lo. That's for sure. Now, bichlal, I mean, we've been taking for granted this whole business about bimikomo, that idea is that means four amas. And like, we've used that four amas as being the definition of tiltul and Rishus HaRabim, and saying that it's the equivalent, like the Gemara said at the beginning of Shabbos, it's the equivalent of being motzi from one Rishus to another Rishus. How do we know this jazz about four amas exactly? Like, we've just been taking it for granted through two mesechtas here. Well, basically, there's another lashon that appears in the Torah. It's not simply Hayetzei Ish Mimekomo. It also says Shavu Ish Tachtav. What is that supposed to mean? Every man should stay in the place which is under him. What's the place which is under him? What is the meaning of saying that other than saying Mimekomo? So what that means is that your place is defined by the area that would be under you. So if you lie down, okay, how much area will you take up as you lie down? So kama tachtav. Well, I mean, let's say your body, which your head and your torso. So that's three amas. But you also need to be able to extend your hands, right? I mean, what if you want to yawn? You're going to extend your legs. You're going to extend your hands. I mean, that's going to actually add an additional ama. So we gave you four amas. This is the normal area that we would need for a person to feel comfortable that he's got, you know, a place where he can lie down on. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that's not the issue. The issue is, it's not about stretching. Your body is three amas, okay? Now, you also need to be able to comfortably move something within the area that you are. Let's say that you've got a pillow that is by your feet and you want to put the pillow on your head, okay? So then you need to be able to take something from your feet, move it away from your feet and put it up on your head. I mean, that's included in a space. A space requires you to be able to maneuver things within that space. Okay, I mean, so who cares? It's the same idea. Is there a difference whether I look at it as you need to yawn or you need to move something? Yes, there is actually a real difference. Differences. Whether you have arba amod mitzumtzamot. The question is, are we really talking about an ama mitzumtzam, or are we talking about an ama that can spread out a little bit? I mean, come on, if you're really stretching your arms out, you want to give a good yawn, that's more than an ama, isn't it? I mean, the ama is just from year to year. I mean, you're just going to be stretching further than that. So, and what that means is that, according to Rebbe Meir, we're being a little loose on this. We're talking about amot that are not amot, but tzumtzamot, in which we have to measure every etzba in the tefach that it's close to each other, or the tefachim next to the tefachim. These were machlokas in about how to define really an ama mitzumtzam that we had before. So it means that according to Rebbe Meir, we got a little bit more. At least this is the way that Rashi understands it. Okay, the others learn exactly the opposite as usual. So, including the Rambam in his Pirush. So, okay, but the point is that for manipulating, you may need more because something may be bigger. But the point is there is an afkamina between them. All right. Now, let's take a look at what we mean exactly by a four amma square, if you really believe that it's four amma square. So Rav Sharshia said to his son, who was going to learn by Rav Papa's yeshiva, so he says to him, look, you know, when you get there by Rav Papa, I want you to ask him, whether the din of the Arba Amos that we said, Begabi, the din of Shabbos, is that something that is a personal Amma or is it a standard Amma? Because, I mean, from the Pusik that says Shvu Ish Tachtav, the implication is that it's a personal kind of thing. I mean, so if somebody is a dwarf, you know, so then that's the Shvu Ish Tachtav, so it's only two Ammas. If somebody is Og Melech HaBashan, so then he gets a lot of Ammas. I mean, because that would be the Tachtav, right? So is it Amma Didei, or do we give him the standard Amma, which is measured in the Beis HaMikdash? Remember that that was the equivalent of the measurements of a meter in Paris until fairly recently. So we don't go by Paris, we go by the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway, so the standard Amma was actually a stick kept at a very precise temperature by an air conditioning unit. And no, it was just a plain old stick in the Beis HaMikdash that was good enough to define for us the standard Amos. Is that what we give him? Now, okay, now listen carefully, my dear son, says Rav Sharshia. Now, you got to be prepared to attack him, okay, no matter what he says. So if he says to you that, no, we give him a standard Amma, so then ask him, what is poor Og Melech HaBashan supposed to do on Shabbos? Because that means he's already outside of his Arba Amos, okay? So what's going to happen to him? All right, I mean, do we not take any kind of consideration of the fact that this guy ends up getting nothing that's a taktav? That's if he says that. Now, how about if he tells you, no, it's actually personal? Ah, if he tells you it's actual personal, here's how to attack it. You tell him, aha, but remember, we're learning Erevin, which means it has to fit with Kalim, right? I mean, nobody would learn Erevin without learning Kalim at the same time. And as it says in the Mishnah in Kalim, well, how come it doesn't list this as one of the special things? Because the Mishnah said, Yesham Ruach Kolafi Mashu Adam, give a whole list of things that are defined by the human being's personal capabilities, right? Of holding something, like Kumitza or the Kteres, or what's considered to be Kdei Sviya on Yom HaKippurim. It didn't list this. How come it didn't list the Arba Amos? Anyway, so he comes to Rav Papa and he's all ready to go and he's like really jazzed up from his father's instruction what to do with the Rosh Yeshiva over here. He's going to make a fantastic impression. Anyway, so he comes, asks him the questions, and Rav Papa says to him, my boy, if you want to learn Mishnayos like that, we ain't ever going to learn anything. Let me tell you something. Why don't you just first learn and then start thinking about it? Because we're going to be sticking on every Mishnah for 3 days thinking about it. Then Lo Tanina, and I can tell you, if I would have learned like that, I would never know anything. So this is not the way to learn. So anyway, took some of the air out of him. But since you're asking, I'll answer you. You know, all I need is for you to go around and say, the Rosh Yeshiva didn't have any answers, so he told me just learn Bekiyas. All right. So I'll tell you what the answer is, okay? The deal is that, in fact, Be'ama d'deya avinanle. Every individual gets his own ama. So then you asked me, so how come we don't list it in the Mishnah, that the ama is defined by your ama? The reason, my son, is that the ama is not the point, you see. It couldn't have said the ama is defined by the person's own ama. Because imagine a case like this, okay? A guy has a normal height, but his arms didn't develop. So he's got a foreshortened arm, which means that his ama is tiny, but he's 6'7", okay? So if the Mishnah would have said the ama is defined by his ama, it would have been totally misleading. You understand? So there would have been no way to include it in the Mishnah Kalim. Now can we continue, please? All right. Anyway, so now the next piece of the Mishnah goes like this. So if we've got three people, okay, and they're all outside of the tchum, they're all given arba amas, and they ended up in such a position that A intersects with B partially, and B intersects with C partially, but C does not overlap A at all. Okay, so we said over there that the halacha is that A and C cannot have things transferred from one to the other, but that A can have B transfer, and B can have also C. Fine. Then Rabbi Shimon throws in something that does not seem to really be relevant at all. And he starts throwing in the business about an equivalent case of three chatzerot. So he says, imagine, three chatzerot, each one with their own door to Rishus HaRabim, plus a little door between every one of these chatzer and the one next to it. All right? Same situation, A, B, C. So Taina's Rabbi Shimon, if A makes an Erev with B, and C makes an Erev with B, but A and C don't make any Erev, so then the deal would be that the middle one can mix with the outside ones, but the outside ones cannot transfer to each other. And this is basically the same case. Well, what exactly does he think that he's adding over here, Rabbi Shimon? But it's really irrelevant, isn't it? By the way, you'll recall the brilliant pshat in Rashi that what we're talking about in the dinim of the Tchumim is not the things that are owned by A, B, or C, but anything cannot be transferred from A to, in that fashion, from A to C. And the reason would be because, as Rashi says, each one of those Tchumim are, in fact, a definition in terms of the dinim of Erevin, not in terms of dinim of Shabbos. They are each one defined as a different Rishus HaYachid for Tchum purposes, right? So Rashi's brilliant pshat is, but the same way that we've defined them for Tchum purposes, a separate Rishus HaYachid, then the dinim that the Rabbanan gave to different types of Rishus HaYachid, such as your home inside of a chatzer, would apply that you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid in terms of the Dinim of Shabbos. Another incredible interplay between the Dinim of Shabbos and the Dinim of Erevin and how we define Rishrias. Now, the truth is that Rabbi Shimon's throwing this in definitely forces us to contemplate the interrelationship of those two Dinim. But without it, we would have thought, oh my God, this is like two completely different worlds, right? Rabbi Shimon is the one that basically is being merames to Rashi's pshat over here, you understand? Even though it doesn't excuse his bringing up something irrelevant, but it just makes it so much more beautiful that he does discuss it. Okay, so anyway, what's the point? The point is that Rabbi Shimon is saying to Rabbanan, look, let's talk about that case, okay? The case of the chatzeros. Now, I mean, certainly in that case, so explain to me, why is it that in that case, you do not allow the people that live in A and C to carry even into the middle chatzer? And how come over here, when it comes to the tchum, you do allow the outside people? So I think that this machlokas should give you pause, because you're ready to see my understanding of this when it comes to the dinim of tchumim. So why weren't you ready to acknowledge that I was right about the cases of the Chatzeros. And instead you say, no, over there, they definitely cannot carry one into the other's Rishos. You explain to me why? Say, the Rabbanon, look, it's not the same issue at all. I mean, we're not going to allow people in three separate Chatzeros where you've got, I don't know how many people, maybe 150 people, you know, do I know? 30 people? I mean, but you can't be matir something like that. I mean, how many people are going to keep their minds on the fact that I have an Erev with the middle one? I see the middle one, I walk into the middle one, and everybody from the far one, C, is carrying into the middle one too. And all the people in the middle one are carrying also into C, besides carrying into A. And I'm supposed to remember that since I am in A, even though I'm allowed to be in B, but I can't carry into C. It's just not practical because there's so many people that are involved. They're going to lose track and become like people normally do. They just follow the crowds. So over there, we've got crowds, Avshei Diurin. Over here, we have individuals with their own individual responsibility whose private and personal tchum actually overlaps with two different people. There's nothing difficult about that, but that's all. The truth is it's only a logistics issue. Fundamentally, we agree with you. All right, now let's talk about that case of the Chatzeros, okay? It says that the two Chatzeros, A and C, are not allowed to carry to each other because they didn't make a Erev with each other. I don't understand what the problem is. Don't A and C both live in B? I mean, they each made an Erev with B. So if they each made an Erev of B, then it's basically one home, right? I mean, otherwise, how could B have an Erev with both A and C? The only way that this should work is that they're really all one big happy family. So why would they not be able to carry from A to C? Essentially, they're all living in B together. Now, this is a very beautiful fundamental question that forces us into attempting to understand better the mechanisms of Erev, which we're going to be getting to very soon, and the way in which the concept of being one big happy family works where there seem to be contradictions in it. So let's take a look what the approaches are. We have two approaches. Rav Yehuda says, the reason that we can't view them as one big happy family is because kigon shenatna emtsait eruva bezo, the eruva bezo. If in fact A and C had both joined with B by putting the eruv in B, then you'd be absolutely right that B has become the great integrator and is a single happy family which includes people from A and C. But let's imagine the case where it's the other way around, where what happened is that B made one Erev with A and put that Erev in A Chatzer, not in B Chatzer. And then they made another Erev with C and they put their Erev in C Chatzer. So now it's very clear that there is no grand happy family in the middle because what exactly is going to integrate them? There's nothing to integrate them. That's Rav Yehuda's approach. Rav Shesha's approach is, No, it wouldn't matter. Even if they did all put the Erev together in B, so that A put an Erev in B and C put an Erev in B, but if they put that Erev separately, so it's not all in one pot, right? They're in two different homes. So the people that were Ma'ariv in Chotzer B from the side of A put it in Dira number 36. And the people in C that were putting their Erev in Chatzer B put it in Dira 38 next door. So therefore, since it's in two separate houses, you can't view it as one big happy family because there's no one place where there would be one big happy family. But Ein Achinami, if they had put it together, then indeed they would be one big happy family and there would not be a problem. Now, I don't like Reb Sheshes' answer, says the Gemara, because Reb Sheshes seems to only work if you hold like Beit Shammai, because we have a braita that talks about a machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai that seems to be the same case. The case over there was you've got five different homes, and they all collected an Erev, and then the problem is they put the Erev into two containers instead of merging them all into one container. So Beit Shammai says, okay, so then that's not an Eruv. An Eruv has to all be in one place, and it's not in one place. Now, doesn't that sound like exactly what we just said to explain Reb Sheshes' reason, right? So what, you're only going like Beit Shammai? Beit Hillel says, no, it doesn't have to be in the same place. I mean, it's still a Eruvim Eruv. That would still be fine. So why would Reb Sheshes explain that the issue of Eruv Reb Yehuda, he explains it in a way that only seems to make sense out of Libet Beit Shammai? Says the Gemara, no, it's no comparison. Afilu tema Beit Hillel. Because the only thing that Beit Hillel was talking about is where you put it in two containers, but it's still in the same house. Beit Hillel has made it. If you put it in two separate homes, then it's not going to be considered an Erev, because an Erev is the diur. But the kli in which you put the Erev is not what defines the diur. It's the house in which you put the Erev that defines the diur. So Reb Sheshes makes perfectly good sense, even according to Beit Hillel. Says Rav Acha Brei to Rav Avi to Rav Ashi, I got a serious problem, both with Rav Yehuda's interpretation and with Reb Sheshes' interpretation, okay? And there's something's missing over here. Let me tell you what bothers me. According to Rav Yehuda, conceptually, he's claiming that if you put the Erev on one side, the middle chatzer puts its Erev with A in A, and that it puts its Erev with C in C. That's what you're saying, right? Now, how can you do that? Once the chatzer B has now gone and put its Erev in A, let's say, right? So then at that point, it's one rishus. They're all considered to be one big happy family. If now people in B go ahead and make an Erev with C, the din is, as we're going to see later, that they can incorporate a further rishus by adding an Erev with that further rishus. So then what that should be is that the current B and A should now be joined with C. So what's the problem? You can always extend an Erev. Once you have an Erev in which two Chatzeres are the same, then you can simply extend that Erev to an additional Chatzer that's attached. So I don't understand what the problem is. Why is he saying that you can't carry from A to C if anyway they're all one big happy family? I don't give a hang where they put it, if they put it in one side or the other. But that's Reb Yehuda's explanation. Reb Sheshes' explanation also doesn't make sense. It's talking about it's in a different house. Because, I mean, the halacha is, it shouldn't be worse than a case where you've got five people who live in one chatzar, right? And what happened is, one of them forgot. And they didn't join the Erev at all. What's the din over there? Can you tell me? The din over there is, forget it, nobody's got an Erev, right? Because if somebody doesn't join with the Erev, so now you've got the same problem. Because you've got a shutaf, a meshutaf rishus in the outside, and private rishuyot in the homes. So why isn't that exactly the same over here? We have basically two separate Erevin that are not included in the other one, so they should be Asrei Adani. If we've got the people in A are seeing themselves as living together with B, but they don't have everybody that was supposed to be part of them together with them because they have refused. Those people are not connecting to A. So then they should prevent anybody from carrying in the middle. A should prevent C from carrying, and C should prevent A from carrying, and basically we no longer have an Erev, and we just blew the whole thing. So I don't understand how it works according to either Rav Yehuda or Reb Sheshes. Said Rav Ashi to Rav Acha Brei Rav Avia, please, it's not a problem, not for Rav Yehuda, it's not a problem for Rav Sheshes. Let me explain it to you. To Rav Yehuda, there's no problem at all, because in the middle chatzar, we said over here, kivan de'ir v'la emtsa'it b'hade chitzona, v'shtayim ha'chitzonot b'hade ha'dadi lo irvu. This is not a normal case. Over here, we had a specific standoffishness. The two middle chatzeros did not want to be in an erev with one another. It was only the middle one that went ahead and made an erev, and they studiously refused to make an erev with each other. So what is it showing? It's showing that they only want an erev with the middle chatzer. It is not interested in having a single chatzer with all these other people. They're not interested in these other people carrying into them. But once that's true, so then they can't. You're saying, let the middle chatzer be a shlichus. What do you mean a shlichus? They don't want that shlichus. They are specifically not joining up with the chatzer at the opposite extreme of the three chatzeras, right? So what are you telling me? Why doesn't B act as their shliach in if it first went to A and then it goes to B, so now it's incorporating B with A too. A doesn't want that. So there's no problem. Okay? Ripshatius is also not a problem. Because the dinim over there, that the Chachomim were mitaken, this is a beautiful svara, is that im amru diurin lahakel, what makes the people in A part of B? The Erev, right? So now you're saying, okay, so the Erev that the Chachamim were metaken, that should create a situation in which everyone is one big happy family. It's the happy family itself that should create a situation that should asher be and C. This makes sense to you? The meaning of an Erev is to be makel to allow people that are in different rishuyos to be carried. Once I use that Erev, I can't use that Erev to create something that undoes Erevin. Don't you understand? In reality, are these people part of one Rishos? No. They have a door between them. So you're saying they went ahead and made an Erev. So therefore, since the din of Erev views them in A as living in B, that screws up C. Ah, come on. They don't really live in B. They're only in B because the Erev was matir them to be in B. You can't use an Erev that's matir to ruin an Erev and say, therefore, you can't have an Erev. It's absurd. So, Imam Rudi Urim Lahakel, the whole point over here is that they created this concept to make you a dayar in another chatzar to be makel that you'd be able to carry. So, therefore, because you're able to carry, you're also the equivalent of a diur that didn't make an Erev with the other people. That makes no sense. Yom Rudi Urim Lahakmir? Of course not. So because of that, you can't create Isurim with an Erev. Okay, now let's take a look at the two shitas over here. So we have this question about the chatzeros, right? Who can carry in what chatzer? Rav Yehuda Amarav wants to explain that the machlokis over here, when we brought the dinim of the three chatzeros, that when Rabbi Shimon is bringing the din of the chatzeros, that's his own shita, that you're allowed to carry between the middle one and either side can carry with the middle one, and everybody's happy except that the side A can't carry to side B, right? That's what you said, okay? So let me tell you that the Chachamim disagree. And remember, we said already that Rabbi Shimon's point was, in quoting this, was to say to the Chachamim, I mean, like, why is it that you don't see that I'm right? And they answered, because there's too many people to be able to do this properly. Fine, okay. So what did the Chachamim basically hold, right? So who exactly would they be saying differently? They say, Rishut achat mishameshet l'shtei rishuyot. Avo lo shtei rishuyot mishamshot l'rishut achat. Look, the point here is that you can use one rishus. People from other rishuyas, yes, that is true. So in Reb Shimon's case that we're talking over here, the rishuyas in the middle, B, can in fact be utilized by people from two separate rishuyas. There's no contradiction in that. So the people from the outside, they're allowed to carry into the middle. There's no way that you can use two separate rishuyas for one rishus. Because you who live in B, you can either be living in A, B, or in C, B. But you can't possibly be living in A slash B slash C. I mean, that's ridiculous. How can you have two completely different diurim? So because of that, the people in the middle cannot carry into the outside. That is what the Chachamim say, because this doesn't make sense. Now, says Rav Yehuda, I want you to know that I said this over in front of Shmuel, that that's how Rav understands the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. And he said to me, absolutely not. What you are describing in the din of the Chachamim who are arguing on Rabbi Shimon, that is what Rabbi Shimon holds. And actually, afzu divrei Rabbi Shimon. What Rabbi Shimon himself was saying was not that everybody can carry wherever the heck they want. What Rabbi Shimon was saying is that the two outside Rishuyas can carry into the middle, but he was never ready to be matir the middle into the two outer Rishuyas. That's the point. Avok HaChomim Omrim, Masha Enken, according to HaChomim, nobody can carry anywhere. Shlosh Tama Surot. There's not a single chatzer that can carry into any one of these other chatzerim, and therefore you had it all wrong. You were saying Rabbi Shimon Shita in the Chachamim, and that's not true.